between games right now. And before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topics for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Ashley.
Hi.
Today's topic is potable potions. So let's get into it. Hi, friends. Before we get into the episode, if you haven't noticed the title, we are going to be discussing alcohol today. If that happens to be a trigger for you, don't worry about it. We're going to discuss it in a very adult way, in a safe way. But if that's not for you, that's all right. We'll catch you next time. So, Ashley, potable potions. I'm not sure how many people are going to appreciate this title. I have some fun with my titles, but this reminds me of the Jeopardy category, but it has to do with alcohol.
Okay.
So we're talking drinks today.
I'm excited.
Well, I know how you feel about drinks and gaming, because when I was at your house, you made us, or Derek made fantastic old fashions.
Yeah.
For several people, and you had lots of other stuff on hand. Do you have any rules around it with gaming, or you kind of trust people to self-edit?
You know, we've never had any issues with that surrounding gaming, which is interesting. I feel like when Derek and I were younger and we first started playing board games with friends, that was what we all did. We all got together, had a couple drinks around the fire, and then would come inside and play board games. So I think that's always been a little bit of a portion of our game nights. Now it's become a lot less alcohol involved and a little bit more some fancier craft cocktails, just having some fun with it. But we've never ran into any issues. I think if you have a big group of people that are drinking and have some alcohol in their system, you just need to gauge what kind of level of games you can play in that scenario, because the attention span is not there when potions are involved.
Yeah, we brought it up in a previous episode about hearing someone start drinking at the beginning of the third time they've played Spirit Island, when they're about to sit down and learn the rules.
Yeah.
And I was like,
that makes it tough.
No. But yeah, like, I mean, when we were at the game retreat, there was alcohol around. Mm-hmm. Everybody seemed to bring their own preferences, which in some cases included very nice rums, and in some cases was whatever beer Aldi had. Like, it just seemed to be, you know, whatever the preference is. And I don't think it affected.
I don't think so either. I think it depends if people are in a social setting where they just want to hang out more than they want to actually play games. I think then it starts to be a little bit of a divide.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to rearrange my normal episode a little bit today, because I asked this question on r/board games 15 hours ago as of recording this, and I already have more than 50 responses.
So exciting.
So I think let's start with the discussion.
Let's do it.
And then we'll get into some stories, because these are the opinions of the community and these are their like little short stories. So, and I'm not going to read all 50, but I'm going to pick some.
I'm so curious.
So just ask the question, has alcohol enhanced or hindered your game nights? Do you have good examples of your group gaming slightly inebriated? Are there rules or guidelines you recommend, or would you like to add to my list of nightmare stories? I'd like to share some advice from the community with my listeners.
Oh, I bet there's going to be some good stuff. I'm excited.
So they fell into a couple of different camps.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'll find them in the same camp, or maybe they'll be
commonalities,
whatever order. So top comment from Benzo Goro says, "We drink at every game night and have never had an issue. None of us get drunk, just a few beers or a bottle of wine over some medium heavy Euros. I feel it loosens people up and helps with analysis paralysis."
Valid.
There's a response to that. "We play heavy games, heavy Euros as well, and we drink beer, sometimes cocktails. Like your group, no one gets drunk. We're all there having a good time and playing serious games. If a group has problems with people getting out of line, that's a people who are playing issue, not a drinking while playing issue."
Hmm.
Which is good.
Wait, are you saying Euros as in like the food? Euros?
No. So okay. Euros. Euros are things like Ticket to Ride.
Oh. I was like, man, is that like a common board game knife? What am I missing out on?
It's a German style board game.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I think the term like meeple and mm-hmm. the idea of meeples yeah. comes from Euros, a couple different things. But I know for a fact Ticket to Ride is one of the examples.
I mean, having Euros at game night sounds good too, like the food.
Yeah, I do it both ways. So this response from Jeffer Hind says, "My monthly game nights are at the local German club. So beer."
Yeah.
And I like this one. Coffee Stained Page says, "Once upon a time in southern France, the river overran its banks and flooded the farmlands, the roads, even the cities. Not even the monasteries were spared. This event would go down as the great gin and tonic flood of Carcassonne."
Oh, no. That's funny.
Which I admit, when I read that, I was like, where are we going? But then I was like, ah, I see. I Someone love it. Spilled their gin and tonic on a game of Carcassonne.
Oh, no.
And we've made it into story time.
Sad day.
Let's see. There's a response to that from Blues-esque Pearl. "My friends and I had a similar experience with a mango margarita flood on the planet Mars."
Oh,
it delayed no. our terraforming efforts.
Oh, no.
So this one agrees with sort of the first one, that it's a way of loosening up, which is kind of the main camp I got as a response.
Yeah.
Which is Hands with Legs says, "My group usually makes cocktails when we play board games. Opposite to a lot of people on this thread, I really enjoy a light drink when playing a heavier game. It makes me relax a little more and helps to avoid the analysis paralysis that I often get."
I never thought about that, but that makes total sense. And honestly, in a regular board game, it makes sense. But also, too, if you're playing something like Dungeons and Dragons and you're not as comfortable being in a role-playing position where you're acting, I could see how that would be a little bit helpful, too.
You mentioned D&D and how it might make you more comfortable. This is an interesting response from Queasy Chipmunk 8088. "For my friend's 40th birthday, he wanted to DM a D&D one-shot. He's a daily drinker, but a great DM, and he's not often fazed by the 8-plus cans of Stella he enjoys on an evening. This time, he was drinking rum, and though the evening started well, there was a moment a couple of hours in where every faculty left him at exactly the same moment. He was, without warning, suddenly, babblingly conducting an invisible orchestra drunk."
Oh no.
"Couldn't open his eyes or formulate a single sentence. I remember someone did a perception check and he paused for about 30 seconds before slurring, 'You see everything.' And then passed out at the table."
Oh, poor guy.
I love that.
Poor players.
Everyone kind of just looked around at each other, paused for a moment, and collectively shrugged. The evening's festivities were over. We looked back and laughed. but we were pretty pissed off at the time.
I was gonna say, how can you not look back at that and think it's kind of funny now?
That would just be... As a DM, I just imagine losing all my faculties and then being like, you see everything.
Can you just imagine as a DM waking up the next morning, just like face down in your D&D
down on your table, like you drool into your handbook. Everyone's left.
What happened last night? Poor guy.
Someone probably, like, I hope someone left him a little sticky note, like, yeah. Well, you passed out, bro.
Sorry. Oh, that's rough.
So, yeah. Know your consumption levels.
Maybe lesson learned. Don't go crazy with an alcohol you don't typically drink while partaking.
Yep. I like this point made by virtual ad 5748. Every game night is a drinking night. If everyone drinks, it's all fair.
That's true.
Heavy or light, they are all fun with beer or margaritas.
Yeah, I feel like if you can have, and that's kind of like what I said when we started out this episode, is if you can have fun with a group of people and everyone's on the same page and it's not just like one or two people going ham while everyone else is trying to be serious in game, I think as long as everyone's on the same page, it seems like there's a general consensus that everyone can enjoy themselves as long as everyone's thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I think that's really key. Because if there's a couple of people getting sloshed, could lead to problems.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to win. And if they're sore losers, that's not going to be good. And if they're spilling a gin and tonic all over your game board, that's probably also not very good.
Hearing that one made my heart break a little bit, because if I was hosting a game night and my game got ruined because someone spilled their drink, it would break my heart a little bit.
It would very much depend on the game for me.
Accidents happen.
Because, like, you know, Flamecraft is one of my favorites. I talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a neoprene mat. It would be okay, I think. I mean, if you got the cards out of it
right
quick, the mat itself would be fine. And then even if it is ruined, let's say, if it's a $30, $40 game.
That's true.
I can live with that. Or, depending on the friends, they'll replace it for me without me asking.
Yeah.
Now, if it's one of the big ones... with all the great stuff. It's $150.
Sad. It'll be a little sad.
We've got to talk. That might be a lot sad. Like,
that's when you go to eBay and find replacement pieces for your game.
Very true. Very, very true. Kermit Frog 647 says, alcohol is a great thing to blame if you do something stupid.
Hey.
Nim Rafael says, I absolutely wouldn't play Twilight Imperium if we didn't all have a schnapps every agenda phase to celebrate the passing of laws and that we survived another round.
That's funny.
If I don't drink beer, I can't play brass. I am simply not efficient at trading enough. And when I retire a family member in John Company, I of course pour myself a glass of wine, if only to spite the French. I hope somebody gets that reference. I did not. I got the first two. Short answer by Sal Tomeson. Your Honor, I can't recall.
I plead the fifth.
And then in parentheses, but seriously, I'm in the camp of being in groups, having one or two glasses of social lubrication with little issue. We're already a distractible bunch anyways, so it's not doing anything that wouldn't have happened with no drinking. Lamo Man says, I've only ever gamed with responsible drinkers. As a result, I don't really have any noteworthy stories of alcohol mixing with gaming. It just sort of is part of the game night sometimes. Edit to add, the closest I have, when I was a teenager, my dad let me play games with his game group, and I was able to hold my own. When I was 18, a young member of the group took me to another group he knew to play Battletech. They had specially themed cocktails as part of the ritual.
Oh, that's fun.
First limb blown off a mech earned that player a particle projection cannon, which I think consisted of vodka and more vodka.
Oh, no.
But I'm not sure. I earned a medium laser, and as it's being handed to me, I make some reference to the school play. Someone says, college, right? And I say,
yep.
No, I'm in high school. And the drink is very quickly taken from my hand.
Oh, no.
So we don't get to know what's in a medium laser. I love that, though. That would be very fun.
Like, yeah, a little sneaky.
Very on brand.
That would be so fun to do like a cocktail themed game night where you play different games and have cocktails that match them.
Do you read very much?
No, but I've seen that people do.
So I've been getting into reading again with my friend group.
Uh-huh.
And I saw people do this like romantic-y themed retreat.
Uh-huh.
And they made these themed cocktails for it.
That's fun.
So cool. So they had like the book A Court of Mist and Fury, which mm-hmm. is in the ACOTAR series. The cover of the book is this beautiful yellow with this turquoise lettering and design. So they had a cocktail of mist and fury.
Oh.
And it looked kind of like a mimosa. And then they dipped, like, then they poured the turquoise in and it kind of spiraled up. And it was
That's
really
fun.
Cool. And then they had something else that I can't remember. And then the last one was called the Shadow Daddy.
That's funny.
Because that's the terminology, and it was based off Zayden from Fourth Wing, of course. And it was sort of all these like dark liquors, and then they added golden like glitter to it. I guess edible glitter, maybe not. I don't know. But it was very cool.
Well, I have a proposal. Maybe for the game table retreat, each night of the retreat, we should say that we're going to play a specific game and someone needs to be in charge of making a cocktail for said game. That would be really fun.
Okay. Yes.
Let's do it.
Volunteers tribute.
Maybe we can run that.
We can do that.
Cocktail hour with the Table Topics podcast.
Like, ooh, you could do, because you love redwood.
Yeah, that
so
one's
good. So you do something with like a smoky oak barrel.
That could be
something
fun.
Or other.
Ooh, all kinds of options.
We're on to this. I'm all over this.
It'll be fun.
So those are some opinions. Those are some lighter opinions. Or shorter, I guess.
They all seemed pretty like alcohol's okay. Were there any horror stories outside of spilling? Or most of them pretty okay with it?
It seems like the main complaint is spilling.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's one here, my son spilled red wine all over telestrations.
Oh no. That one's dry erase boards though, you can clean that up.
You're like, false!
Because we have played that with a group of intoxicated friends before.
Ooh, this from Business Honey Badger, love that name, says, I make homemade mead. We drink my mead and play Frosthaven every other weekend. Something we all look forward to. None of us ever get drunk and we all have a fun time. If someone comes and gets drunk, I wouldn't invite them back.
Interesting.
Shout out to one of my other friends who loves board games back in Philly. Brews his own beer.
Oh, homebrew. Okay.
Different kind of homebrew.
Yeah. Wait, so what would you do in that scenario? If someone got too drunk at a game night, would you not invite them back? Because I
think it could be a conversation.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely don't want to enable it to happen again. But then also, I'm a little bit of a coward too. If they came back, be like, okay, you're cut off.
Yeah.
You know, Nathan waitered for a long time, so he knows all the like official rules.
Okay.
So he would probably be the like, hey, buddy.
You can eyeball when someone's getting a little too.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it would be a little talking.
That's fair.
Talking to, maybe.
That's fair.
I would hope that the people I game with would apologize on their own.
Yeah, totally.
And not make me have to, but we'll see.
Sorry, I kind of derailed us there.
No, this is, I'm liking to look because there are some down here. This one from Wayland says, I've had my friend fall asleep on me while I explained the rules of Scythe to her. Then fall asleep a dozen turns in so hard that we just gave up and played without her. I've had another friend do basically the same thing, except the game we played was much simpler and he just had a few beers. It's no big deal, bro. And we had to basically kick him awake later because our host could not have us stay any longer.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, my games of choice are best enjoyed sober. Though I do admit that party games that are supposed to produce ha-has are best enjoyed slightly, let's say, tipsy. Falling asleep is not okay. I know that that is something, if I have even a full second cocktail sometimes, I've got about a 60-minute timer. A
little snoozy.
So I'm going to be out. Nathan knows this on our drinks and stuff. Like, the second that second cocktail is finished, an hour.
It's time to go.
That's what we've got. It's bedtime. So I relate to that side of it. Mm-hmm. But then on the other side, I had a D&D retreat that I ran last year. I was very conscious of my drinking because I know
I will get tired.
And if I'm DMing, I don't want to get tired and fall asleep. So I was very conscious of it the whole time. And we were in a sort of different place for my players. And it turns out there wasn't any like caffeinated teas in the house, which is what this one player was used to using to stay awake. And so there's a night where one of our sessions ran like past normal dinner time. So we ended up having dinner at like 9 to 10.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, we're wrapping up. We're at this point, we're wrapping up the whole weekend. Do we want to play tonight? And then sleep in the morning and head home? Or do we want to get up in the morning and wrap up and head home? And the decision was made to stay up that night.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake. I ended up being so sad because that was the second campaign I've wrapped up where someone fell asleep on me.
Oh, no.
And that's so disheartening.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially as a DM, when you put so much like time, energy, effort into planning all of it for everyone else. I totally get that would be really tough.
And it's just like you end up feeling like you're performing to a captive audience, which is never how you want D&D to feel.
Yeah.
You want people to participate because they want to participate. Like, I don't want to sit there and talk to myself. It might seem like it, but I don't. So it was really, I wish I could have gone back because now it's like, okay, now we've played 3 days in a row and we've had this great experience and this is how it's ended.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
And my husband was also getting really tired and he doesn't fall asleep, but he fidgets. So he was fidgeting. This other person fell asleep. Tell. And I was just like, okay, well, all right.
You're just hitting the wall.
Everybody goes home. You know, then I guess it's over and the world is saved. Whatever.
Oh, like, no.
You know, so you're... And it made the person that did want to wrap it up and talk, like, it put us all in weird positions.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I forgot I do have that as an example of like, and I don't think that had just to do with alcohol, but totally. I think that contributed. And then when there was nothing available to counterbalance it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Especially after you've had a long weekend and you're up later than you expect to be. Sometimes you just hit a wall and you just have to, you're just so tired. So I get it.
Get it. And I would have much rather somebody said, like, actually,
let's not tonight.
Yeah. Like, great. Cool. We've still done a little bit. Like, we can still sleep kind of late in the morning and just maybe even just then. A conversation in the car that's like let people epilogue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel that.
So on that note, I'll read this very last one. Although I just saw someone's name that I really like. This one's from Alphadeus. Back in college, I used to play weekly D&D sessions with a group of friends. What I noticed was that whenever we were drinking any amount of alcohol, it would always make the session go slower, make us get more easily distracted.
Yeah.
It was fun from time to time, but not during any story critical points or combat heavy sessions. Now, whenever I invite people for board games or TTRPGs, I have a strict no alcohol rule. Spending time with friends is already fun enough. The game should already be fun enough. We don't need alcohol to enhance that. Also, since I tend to play a variety of games with different people, I imagine that drinking would lead to the same thing as it did with D&D in college. Slower games and people getting more easily distracted. And since playing a board game for the first time already adds around 40% to the time that's printed on the box, I imagine it would be much harder to finish anything we start.
Oh man, I feel like in college though, that's a whole different type of alcohol consumption than as, I guess I'm just speaking from experience. That's a whole different type of alcohol consumption than as an adult, like that's out in the regular, like post-college world. So I totally get where this person's coming from.
And it's a different tolerance level.
It is, 100%.
You think your tolerance is high.
Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, so cool that you had a group of friends in college that was willing to play D&D. I mean, that's not something that I would have even like heard of or consider or thought of in college. So that's really cool.
So that comment says they don't allow it anymore after those experiences.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to our first story. Again, we do have stories. I just swapped the order, which follows that same line of thinking. This comes from r/AITA from no handle 3091. Am I the problem for not allowing friends to drink alcohol in my house? I, 37 female, do not permit alcohol in my house, and I haven't for 15 years. There is a lot of alcoholism in my family, and in my late teens, early 20s, I was a problem drinker. Fortunately, I realized before things became too bad and have not drunk a single alcoholic drink since. I don't object to others around me drinking, I just won't myself and don't want it in my house. All of my family and friends are aware of this and the reasons why. A group of my friends and I enjoy playing board and card games. We have decided to have a games night once a month, taking turns to host in our homes. The first two were fantastic, and we really enjoyed ourselves. Some people were drinking, and others weren't. My turn is coming up, and in making the preparations, I reminded people that I don't allow alcohol in my house. But if they wanted to bring a non-alcoholic beer or wine, then that's okay. I could make up a few different mocktails. I thought that would be a reasonable compromise and that people would be fine with not drinking for a 3-hour event. Unfortunately, that was not so. Two of the group were extremely unhappy with that. They said that whilst they were aware of my house rule, they just thought I meant that I don't have alcohol in my house, and that I wouldn't object to others bringing some. I don't know where they got that idea, because all events in my house they have come to were alcohol-free, although I've only really hosted brunches and lunches where people tend not to drink anyway. They also said that not permitting them to bring alcohol was inappropriate and showed I was a bad host and a bad friend. We did end up in an admittedly petty argument, where they said that I was a hypocrite for not letting them drink because I was practically an alcoholic at one point. Oh. And if I Yeah, what? And if I still can't be around alcohol after all these years, then I needed help. I responded and said that if they can't go 3 hours without drinking, then it was them that needed help. We tried not to get the others involved in the argument because we didn't want them to feel like they needed to take sides, but the argument ended up going from an in-person one to an argument on our friend group chat. This has, of course, led to people taking sides, even those friends who are in the group chat but don't attend the games nights. I'm thinking of withdrawing from the game nights because of all the fighting. I still don't want alcohol in my house, but other people have been saying that I'm in the wrong for not complying with our country's social norm of drinking alcohol at events and parties.
No.
Others have said that there's nothing wrong with me having boundaries and that people shouldn't automatically expect to be allowed to drink at every event. I don't really know what to think about it, because they are right that where we live has a huge drinking culture and it is more normal than not to drink at evening parties. Am I the problem for not allowing people to drink alcohol in my house?
No, period. I have so many thoughts on this. Like, no. Like, I have a little bit of alcoholism in my extended family, and my mom specifically has never drank a sip of alcohol in her life because someone in her family was an alcoholic. And it's one of those things where if you know, and it sounds like these friends know that there's a history of alcoholism, especially not even just with that person, but even if you know it, they have alcoholism in their family, like you have to respect someone's boundaries. To me, that's not a very good friend. Like if alcoholism is a very serious thing, and I know I've been very like, bro, let's have a cocktail, let's hang out on this episode so far. But I think when people have serious boundaries like that, when it comes to things that are so serious, like you got to respect that. And especially the fact that she offered to make some fun mocktails and do stuff like that. I mean, there's also these days there's other alternatives like THC beverages and things of that nature. But I do agree with her sentiment that to not respect it in one of the however many game nights they've had that she hosts to not have alcohol in her home. That's a little bit sad. I'm sorry, OP, that they're not respecting your boundaries in that manner.
Yeah, I think the general rules that we talked about in the discussion do not apply here.
No.
Are superseded by what this person has gone through.
Totally.
And the arguments made by these friends are bogus.
Yeah.
It was already not a keen argument in my mind to say, well, it's the culture.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what?
But I mean, I think in general, the United States has a fairly strong drinking culture. I mean, Budweiser always has one of the biggest ads in the Super Bowl, and, you know, most people are fairly used to it. But it's also fairly common to have people say no.
Right.
For a variety of reasons, for health reasons, for exercise reasons, for gluten-free reasons. Like, I guess those are all technically health reasons, but different sources, as well as these social reasons. And then to go and make the argument, well, you used to be an alcoholic, so why can't you handle this, is like
so messed up.
That's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that I used to have an unhealthy relationship, so now I set the line so far back for myself.
And that's why I said there's a little bit of a lack of respect there, because she's doing this so that she doesn't have a poor relationship with alcohol. Those are why she set these boundaries. And if a friend in your life doesn't respect that, then to me, they either lack a little bit of empathy or they're not a very good friend to you. Because clearly that's something that's important in your life, that you've set those boundaries, have been very strict on them, and they know your backstory. I think that's just a bummer.
And this is such a weird fixation to me, that this is not the first story I've read. In fact, this is a more tame story to some than I've seen on Reddit, where someone who has recovered is still like resented by people who knew them when they were
different.
An addict or an alcoholic or something like that. And that person that knew them during this time period can't get over it.
Yeah, that's sad because you just want the people in your life to be happy for you for making healthier choices.
Yeah, and they just end up behaving in this abhorrent way of like what this person is arguing, like, what's your problem? You used to have a problem, so why are you? That's so...
Makes my heart break every time I hear it. That's
wild.
So not cool.
And it's the same thing with people like saying, there's also this trend. Sorry, I'm going to go all down the Reddit spiral now. There's also this trend of people wanting to boycott weddings if there's not going to be a bar.
Yeah.
Excuse me, what?
Not that I encourage this, but like I've been to no alcohol weddings when I was younger with friends. And it's like, you know, if you have to pregame, do a little pregaming in the car before you go in, you know, but respect people's boundaries. Not that I encourage pregaming in the car because that's bad too.
To an extent, to a healthy extent. Yeah, I mean, I had a dry wedding. I got married at a vineyard. Didn't have any wine.
Oh man, I did not know that.
Or that was because there was a recovering person in my family and I didn't want to do that to them. So nobody got wine.
And see, and that was your wedding and you were respecting that person's boundaries. And I feel like that's even on like a bigger scale because it's a wedding and like a marquee event in someone's life than even just like a game night that happens once every couple of months or once every couple weeks.
This is just so wild to me. This person is just so 100% not in the wrong.
I want to invite you to my game nights.
No, come to our game nights.
We'll make mocktails. We'll make some fun drinks.
She's even saying she's been to game nights where other people drink and it's fine.
Yeah, it's just the boundary. She doesn't want it in
her house.
Which is totally understandable because then it's that breaking that barrier and that makes me sad.
And even if you don't agree with it, my house, my rules.
Totally. That's back to our episode that we did on house rules.
Yeah.
The house rule for this game night is that you can't drink.
That's the international agreed standard of my house, my rules.
Yeah. I'll come to your game night.
Yeah, the top comment from Gatina1 says the same thing we did. Totally not the problem. Your house, your rules.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who doesn't like it can go pound sand. Your friends are problems for bringing up your past issues with alcohol.
Yeah.
You've dealt with them and know your limits. If they can't go for a few hours without it, they're the ones with the problem. Stand your ground. I think you need a few new friends.
Man.
Oh my gosh, there's so many responses under that.
It seems to be a very hot button topic.
Resident Pomelo 1337 says, not the problem. Society has normalized drinking so much that to not is met with fear, derision, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
Non-drinkers are treated worse socially than alcoholics who destroy their relationships. Just because it is a societal norm doesn't mean it's right. It takes strength to see through it and deal with the defensive reactions. Don't compromise your reasonable boundaries.
Agreed.
Reg Raccoon responds and says, this... You should see the AITA for not allowing alcohol at my wedding posts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I called it. They're full of you're the problem votes because of some BS like everyone drinks at weddings and it's a party. Of course they're going to be mad. And not everyone likes social events and drink to be comfortable, which is insane to me because literally no matter the reason behind not having alcohol at an event, even a huge one like a wedding, is a totally reasonable boundary to have. If people can't go a few hours without alcohol or getting angry when it's not provided, maybe they should look inward. OP is 1,000% not the problem.
Yeah.
Can't read that name. But they say, not the problem. I would say that no one is the problem, but their reactions put them firmly in that territory. To be honest, no drinking makes that kind of a gathering a no-go for a lot of people. If having a few drinks is part of the fun for them, then it's best that you just don't host. Or be the host at someone else's house. You're still in charge of snacks and cleanup, just not at your place. OP responds, I will definitely bring up the idea of not hosting at my house and being involved with the hosting at someone else's. That is probably the best way to get past this. Thank you.
That's a great idea for a solution. But it still doesn't solve the root of the problem of your friends kind of stink a little bit.
It doesn't address the disrespect.
No.
It addresses a way forward, but geez, that's just a terrible way to treat your friends.
Yeah.
Existing Fox 6317 says, not the problem. I wouldn't want to attend a dry game night either, but arguing in a group chat about bringing booze into the home of someone in recovery is not the way this should have played out.
No.
Why didn't someone else just offer to host? Seems like common sense if the alternative is alienating a friend from a hangout. OP responds there. I think both sides have been so caught up in what we thought was the right thing that we haven't properly looked to a solution. Having someone else host is definitely an option I will bring up.
Yeah, it sounds like it got heated very, like, heated and petty very quickly.
Which is such a problem these days. It's so much, like, it's so much not looking for a solution because you need to put the other opinion down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wrong. But I can't get on that pedestal. Or I'll be here for several hours. So here's her edit. It's been mentioned a few times that people don't understand why I won't allow alcohol in my house when I am fine being around people drinking elsewhere. So I thought I should address that. A lot of my worst memories around drinking happened at home. I'm not even sure I can properly describe the pit of self-loathing and despair I felt when things were at their worst.
Aww.
I was also at home when I realized I had problems, and I felt so disgusted with myself and then so trapped that I left and stayed with my mother for a whole week because I couldn't face going home. Some family friends cleared my house of alcohol for me before I went home.
Aww.
It took a long time to feel comfortable in my house again, and when I did, it became my alcohol-free sanctuary in a world where drinking is so common. I have this bizarre feeling that my sobriety is somehow linked to my home feeling alcohol-free, and I'm afraid that by allowing alcohol in, I will slip back into the hole I was in before. I also feel I can be around people who are drinking because I know I get to go back to my safe place.
Oh, I want to cry and give this person a hug.
That is so heartbreaking. Okay, ditch these friends. They're terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I feel that way about my home.
Yeah.
Without having had this issue.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can always go home and not let anyone else in.
Yeah, it's your sanctuary. It's your safe place.
And to think that you've attached, which maybe you'll eventually let that go, but for now, the way that you've recovered has attached this feeling of this is a safe place where that thing that hurt me can't get me again.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who thinks they can trample that is out of line.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's experienced any kind of trauma knows that there's certain things in their life that just like trigger that flashback of feeling, experiencing that trauma. So it's just like, for a friend to not respect that, and it seems like they know a little bit about her sobriety journey too, but to me that just amplifies the fact that they're really not respecting you and just makes me so sad.
Yeah. Of course they were voted not the problem.
Thank goodness.
This is a response on the same post, and I don't know what they're responding to, but I don't think we need to know. But it says, I would completely respect it if they opted out of my nights. Throughout our extended friendship group, there are people, myself included, who have opted out of events that don't suit us.
Right.
The game nights are still so new that my night would have been the third one. We decided to take turns hosting before the first one even happened. I suppose we didn't talk enough about practicalities at the time. The more I've settled after the argument, the more I've been wondering if there was something else behind it. I know that I'm more touchy at the moment because events going on in my family, and I definitely behaved in a reactionary way. I wonder if there's something more on their side that may lead them to be less tolerant than usual. We are meeting up for coffee after work tomorrow to talk and see if we can resolve the bitterness and work through the issue. Another friend who hasn't taken sides is coming in case we need someone to give us a slap back to reality.
Aww.
Well, that's somewhat of an update, because at least they're getting together to talk.
Snap, for being the bigger person in that scenario, and trying to make amends and realizing that just because, like, that this OP has been a little bit of snappy because of the stuff that they're going through in their life, and recognizing that their other friend could be going through something too, and maybe that's why they had the reaction that they did. So, props to them for being the bigger person in that matter, and trying to be understanding on both sides.
So this is something that came up in, you know, the discussion that we were having earlier, which is if your gameplay is affected,
mm-hmm.
you have to either be cool with that or not continue drinking. You know, like, that's kind of a you problem, I think, is the conclusion that we came to earlier.
Yeah.
So this next story is dealing with someone else not taking it as a you problem, taking it as a somebody else problem. So from r/AITA, from Stumbling Hunter.
Oh, Stumbling Hunter. Okay.
Well, they're not the stumbler in this story. Am I the problem for ruining game night? So I, 33 male, was at my buddy's, 36 male, place, and we were playing the game of life with him and his girlfriend, 34. There eventually was an event where I landed on a space where I would pay him. However, we had been drinking and he didn't notice. Meanwhile, his girlfriend spun the wheel, initiating her turn. It wasn't until after she moved her piece that he noticed I didn't pay him. This then effectively ended the game because we were arguing about whether or not I was supposed to pay him. I thought that I didn't need to since he didn't notice. It's a rule specifically spelled out in Monopoly, and all my friends' family throughout real life have all adhered to it. If you're not paying attention, you lose. He kept saying that I should have paid him regardless because that's what the rules explicitly said. We argued about it for over an hour, but in the end decided to pack up the game and play some cards instead. It's been almost 2 weeks, and every time we hang out and have a few beers, it comes up. TLDR, if you're not paying attention to the game, do you still reap the benefits?
The drama.
I love how they couldn't come to a consensus. Yeah. This just escalated and they had to quit entirely. The game of life.
First of all, the game of life seems to be very problematic for a lot of people in some of our stories that we've read.
It's true. This is at least the second story yeah. with the game of life.
Yeah, the other one was where the person played a different gender
and
got married or something.
Somehow it came up that they would cheat on their imaginary significant other, spouse
yes. yeah.
for more money.
Life problems.
Life problems.
I don't know. I kind of agree with the sentiment that, like, if they weren't paying attention, then it's kind of their fault. But in the same vein, granted, we're typically playing games that have a lot more rules to remember than life. But especially when Derek and I are just playing a game with one another by ourselves, if there's a ton of rules and one person happens to forget one on one turn, we'll typically remind each other, even if it involves me paying him begrudgingly. or vice versa, just out of like common courtesy, like, remember, that's a rule. I mean, there's definitely times where he and I recently played the Ticket to Ride campaign, and he had a card that prevented him from getting an effect of something that was going on during the game, whereas I did not. So he could have very easily used that effect against me several times, but like, I'm not going to remind him that he could be using that against me. Like, why would I do that? But if it's something resulting in money, I would typically step in and be like, hey, I owe you this. Like,
see, Nate and I would not.
Cutthroat.
We're so cutthroat. And like, I've played a lot of cribbage and like gin rummy and those types of things that have that element of like, if someone else didn't notice it, you can call it.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly paranoid that I've forgotten something.
That's
because
true.
Nathan and any of his siblings will absolutely not warn me.
Gotta be on your toes.
They will absolutely take credit for whatever it is. And I think I played cribbage before I hung out with his family, but I definitely play it much more with them. So like the first time that I missed, you know, however many points, they're like,
you,
I got it. And so now I know that that's the dynamic. So I'm like,
you're ready.
You got to stay on it.
I think there's a lot of questions here. Like, how many times have you played the game? Are there, I mean, a Game of Life doesn't have that many rules. Like, I'm sorry. If you drink too much to not remember a rule in the Game of Life, then I don't know what to tell you.
That's a great point. If you drink so much that you've forgotten a rule in the Game of Life, it makes sense that you've also drank so much you can't come up with a solve.
Yes.
While the game is in motion.
That is valid.
You're like, no, it's impossible. We're just going to disagree forever. We're done.
This sounds very dramatic.
Oh, yeah. Just two bros in their 30s having an argument.
That makes it even better. Like, I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Okay, don't worry. Top comments here with the official rules.
Oh, dear.
Sam Spade PI, I think, says, the official rules state the owner may not collect the rent if they fail to ask for it before the second player following throws the dice.
Well, there you go.
Oh, so the rules are against him. Wait, second player following. So not the first one.
Oh, so if you get two turns passed.
Yeah.
Interesting. Since I wonder why.
I don't know either. That's,
yeah,
that's gracious.
It really is.
Since your friend asked for the money before this, it was still the first player following's turn, you should have paid him.
That's fascinating because I feel like in a lot of games, there is incentive to go quickly on your turn to let the last person not have more time to make changes or be like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have done that or what? Like,
yeah, I can't think of the example right now, but that's the other example other than like the rummy calling rummy. And what, that's the other example of like, you done?
Yeah. Ready to go. I guess like Uno maybe or I don't even know what I'm thinking of. I know there's a couple of games that are like that though, where you are incentivized of going quickly because you want to make sure the last person can't do anything.
They're definitely out there. I don't know why I'm blanking on it right now.
I know, I don't either.
So OP just responds to that comment with a, huh.
Oops.
I love. Sometimes Reddit is gold.
Am I the drama?
A deleted account quotes him and says, he kept saying that I should have paid him regardless because that's what the rules explicitly said. If the rules explicitly said that, then yes, you are the problem.
Yeah. Very interesting. Why didn't they just pull out the rule book?
Well, it sounds like someone did, and this person just went, no.
Well, that's a little bit of a different story, I guess, because I guess I was under the assumption until you read that comment that maybe it wasn't clearly stated in the rule book what the rule was regarding lack of attention. You best believe when I'm playing a game, the rule book is right next to me so that we can look up any questions.
So his argument is, but the rules of Monopoly say...
That's a different game, bro.
And his friend was like, but these rules say you do pay me.
So interesting.
Last Manac says, you're the problem. You weren't playing Monopoly. You were... this petty fight.
Yeah.
You weren't playing Monopoly. You were playing an entirely different game with entirely different rules. I just read the rules. You cheated. He's right. You're wrong. You owe your friend the next round and a fist bump. Sorry, bro.
Really?
OP responds and says, I'm gonna wait for a few hours and then send him this thread.
Can we also, like, just remember the fact that this is 2 30-year-old men arguing over the game of life?
Like, yes, that's why this podcast exists, to bring you stories of two men in their 30s arguing over the game of life. So we did our discussion at the beginning. We don't have one at the end. What have we learned?
Yeah, a couple of takeaways here. If you're not used to drinking hard alcohol, maybe don't drink hard alcohol.
You'll wake up passed out on your table in your player's handbook.
Maybe keep the cups away from the table if you're playing a fast-paced game.
Or get one of those fancy game tables with the real cup holders.
Yes.
By the way, if any fancy game table creators want to send me something...
Hop right on that.
I'll be all over it.
Yeah, I mean, those are the lighthearted ones. And then in all seriousness, respecting boundaries and just respecting what people have been through in their lives. And game night doesn't have to be so serious.
Yeah, I think that point from way back, one of the submissions in the beginning, which is like hanging out with your friends should be enough.
Yeah.
Either way. That's the point.
It is.
That's the point of things, is you're here to hang out with your friends. You're here to have fun.
Games are supposed to be fun.
Yeah, so don't... If people have boundaries, respect them. If people... It's just no matter what you do, respect other people.
Yeah.
Why is that so hard? And if you're in your 30s...
Don't argue over the game of life.
Don't argue over the game of life. Or if you do, please put it on Reddit so I can read it. Actually, no. Argue over the game of life. Oh, jeez. Well, those are our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck on your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.